This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed, back this Wednesday with another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime. Our first story this week is the Jim Gordon case from That Hammer Guy. This one aired sometime in 1953. That's followed up by The Adventure of the Illustrious Client, the May 9th, 1948 episode from Sherlock Holmes.
Here's Ted DeCorsia in the Mickey Spillane mystery, That Hammer Guy.
You've got your feet propped up on the corner of your desk and you're all tilted back and relaxed. It's your favorite slouch. Not so much because of the load it takes off your spine, but especially because it angles your eyes just right to watch Zelda across the room.
7 o'clock at night and it gives me 10 pages to do.
You give her back a smug grin and make a note about the pretty curve her neck makes rising from her shoulders.
You had to get these forms out like I had to dye my hair green.
You'd be the saltiest greenhead on the block.
You get salt from slaving in a salt mine.
Now, you just be a nice office wife and the boss will buy you dinner.
Now, wait just 1 second. Is this a strange left-field plan to tap me into getting sick on spaghetti again?
What's wrong with Mario's spaghetti?
It wiggles on the plate all by itself.
So we'll eat someplace else.
Now?
Carry on, my dear. Caress those cheeks.
Oh, Mike.
Saved by the bell. Answer it.
Answer it yourself.
Mutiny. Yeah?
Mr. Hammer?
Yeah?
I don't know you, Mr. Hammer, but we have a mutual friend.
What do you want?
Jim Gordon. I'm calling about Jim. You've got to help him. He's got his back up against the wall, and they're going to...
Yeah? Hello? 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 A big night all planned out just for you and Velda, but the phone call cuts it out before you can even start. You and Velda get on the phone and start checking to see what kind of a gag this is. You try the trucking office where your old friend Jim Gordon runs his freight business, but nobody answers. You call Jim's brother, but he's not around. You run out of phone calls just in time. Hello?
Mike, I've been trying to get you all night long, but your lousy phone's been ringing busy.
You don't like the sound of Pat Chambers' voice, and when you hear what he's got to say, you like what he says even less.
Word's around. You've been looking all over for Jim Gordon.
Well, I'm looking, but what's that got to do with homicide?
Plenty, Mike. I found him.
Yeah? Where?
In his office in the freight terminal.
So what has that got to do with me?
Nothing. Unless you can tell me why he put a bullet through his head.
You know all the answers, all right, but not to a question like that. Because you know Jim Gordon, too. And he just isn't the type. You've crawled in the mud with Jim Gordon and watched him fight. And when he got it hanging on the barbed wire, you saw him grab his last ounce of life and slam away until he came back. Nobody like Jim Gordon turns a gun on himself. And it's going to take a long, cold hunk of proof to try to prove otherwise. You take Velda along with you to see a guy both you and Jim knew. He isn't a mutual friend.
That's the way the ball bounces, Hammer. Some guys just don't have it.
Craig Lawrence has plenty, but he's the kind of a grabber that never thinks he has enough. His favorite method is to buy up the trucking competition, and if that doesn't work, he forces them out.
Look, Hammer, we talked enough. Now, how about you and this dame getting out of my office?
Well, what's your hurry, Lawrence?
I'm a busy man. I run a trucking business, not a quiz show.
You're really broken up about Jim Gordon, aren't you?
Gordon was nothing to me, just a wildcat punk who scrubbed for nickels on short hauls. He wants to knock himself off, that's his business.
That wasn't what he told me a couple of weeks ago.
Which means?
You tell me.
What's to tell?
How about starting with the reason why you wanted to buy him out?
So I offered to buy him out.
He also told me you were turned down flat.
Nobody turns Craig Lawrence down flat.
Maybe the police would be interested in that angle.
Look, you two, don't go making something out of nothing.
It's more than nothing to me.
So he was your friend. That's got nothing to do with me.
Maybe it hasn't. If it was really suicide.
What kind of a crack is that supposed to be?
You've got a clear track with Jim dead.
That is, if you can make everybody believe he killed himself. But his friends know he wasn't the type. He knew better.
Look, it was suicide up and down. If you'd have been here before when the cops were around, you'd have gotten the story straight.
How straight can a story be without witnesses?
You could be wrong about that, Hammer.
What do you mean?
Maybe there was a witness.
Who?
Henry Bryant, Gordon's dispatcher.
Where is he?
How should I know?
Oh, nice and pat, huh? Just a little too pat.
Okay. Suppose you check with the cops. They're satisfied it was suicide.
I don't know what kind of a cop would go for that suicide, Jan. But maybe Captain Chambers will have a different idea, and I'm going down to Homicide and talk to him.
Yeah, you do just that, Helen. Because Chambers is just the cop who went for it. Chambers was here. He said it was suicide.
You dropped Belda off on the way down to Pat Chambers' office. You always figured Pat for a smart cop, but his attitude now could go down in history as a guy bucking for stupid.
I only know what I see, Mike. I don't read crystal balls. I work right down the back road.
You're ready to blow your stack. You just can't figure how Pat can swallow a yarn like that.
Now, take it easy, Mike. Take it slow and easy.
But I told you, a guy called me about him being in trouble. I told you about Lawrence trying to buy Jim up. You know what kind of a muscle man Lawrence is. He's got a reputation that'd make Bluebeard look like a cream puff.
Yeah, I know, I know.
Then how can you have the gall to call this a suicide and close the book on it?
What else can I do?
Oh, I don't get you, Pat. For the first time, I don't read you at all.
Well, if you think I'm convinced that Jim Gordon killed himself, you better buy some new bifocals.
Well, then why?
Give him some string right along. When they think they're getting away with it, we'll catch him off base.
Where did you get that badge? From a correspondence school?
Mike...
You've worked the truth out of tougher guys than Lawrence. Why don't you book him on suspicion?
Lawrence? Not him. It's the other guy I'm worried about.
What other guy?
Henry Bryant, the Gordon dispatcher.
Oh, come on, Pat. You don't suspect Bryant, do you?
Why not? The handlers down at the terminal told me that Gordon and Bryant were given to dispatching each other from time to time instead of the freight.
Pat, they're like you and me. Just because we level off from time to time doesn't mean we kill each other.
Then where is Henry Bryant? Why'd he disappear?
I don't know. But we'll have the answer when we find him.
We? What do you mean, we?
Well, I'm going to help you find him.
In a pig's eye, you are.
Now, look.
I'm trying to be a nice guy. I'm asking you politely to stay out of this. No interference, get me?
Interference? A friend of mine dies, and you...
I'm asking you just once, stay out. We'll find Henry Bryant our own way. The city pays us to do that, not you, understand?
Pat, I can't hear a word you're saying.
All right, then, I'm through asking you nicely. Now I'm telling you, lay off. If I find you sticking your nose in this, it goes down in my book as obstruction of the law.
In just a moment, we'll return to the Mickey Spillane mystery, That Hammer Guy. And now, back to the Mickey Spillane mystery, That Hammer Guy.
Obstruction of the law. You've been as thick with Pat Chambers as frozen glue. And now, when you want to help him get the guy you're both looking for, he tells you to lay off. You'll lay off, all right. You'll lay off like a desert rat lays off water in an oasis. You picked Velda up just in time to keep her from going to sleep.
Don't let it get you, Mike.
She tries to find the words, but everything she says makes the steam bubble inside even more.
You can't blame Pat for trying to work things out his own way.
Well, that isn't good enough for me. To him, it's just another job, another file in his office. But you know Jim was more than that to me.
Yes, I know. But there's nothing you can do now.
There's plenty I can do.
Sure, plenty. Like getting into trouble, like risking your license.
I know, Velda, but... I just can't help it. It's a chance I gotta take. So you take the chance. The chance of locating Jim Gordon on your own. Zelda finds Henry Bryant's address in a phone book for you, and then you both head uptown. You figure maybe somebody in the house can give you a lead.
Mike, you're just raking over dead ashes. The police must have been there already. They must have questioned everybody.
Sure, but sometimes even the cops don't get all the answers. It's in this block. Now, remember, I'm going to say I'm Bryant's cousin.
All right. Hey, take it easy. Why try testing your brakes now?
Look up the block there, that parked car.
What about it?
That's Lawrence's Nash convertible.
What? Are you sure?
Positive. He had it in the loading dock at the freight terminal.
Gee, maybe your hunch was right.
Hold it, Zelda.
What now?
Look, a guy running down the steps. A guy with his hat pulled over his face.
He's got his car.
There they go.
We're going to tail him.
Who is he, Mike? I couldn't see his face with a hat pulled over it like that.
Why do you think he had it pulled down? And I'll bet all the stays in your grandma's court that that guy under that hat was Henry Bryant.
Wherever the car is going, it doesn't waste any time. You break a few speed laws across the town and then follow it across the bridge and out into the country. It slams north onto the main highway for 25 miles and then suddenly cuts over into a side road. That side road turns out to be bad luck for you.
Mark, I don't see the car.
Honey, I like that for luck. Lost them.
Maybe they took the turn at the fork a few miles
away. They came this way, all right. Oh, this is great. I keep on their tail for over 30 miles, and then I have to lose them out here in the middle of nowhere of all the lousy brakes.
Well, at least we know in which direction they were headed. We can notify Pat Chambers.
Oh, sure, Pat. You know what he'll say about me cutting in?
Obstruction of the law.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just have to take the chance and tell him.
And your license will go with it.
Yeah.
And there's a building off the road up ahead.
Yeah, the only one. I'll phone Pat from there. While I'm there, I'll take a look around.
Wait, there's a sign. Wearing sanitarium.
Yeah.
Maybe Pat will let you off easy.
Well, don't bet on it. You wait here. I'll be out in a minute.
The
name's Mike Hammer.
I'm Frank Waring, the administrator of this sanitarium. How can I help you?
Well, you can help me by letting me use your phone. I have to call the police.
Anything wrong?
No, I get these crazy impulses from time to time to let them know I'm still alive.
The police? Of course, Mr. Hammer. This way, please. I assume it's very important.
Yes, yeah, sort of. I've been trying to track down my cousin, Henry Bryant.
Henry Bryant? He's your cousin?
You mean he's here?
Yes. Mr. Hammer, how did you know?
Well, I followed him here from the city, and then I lost the car and away. But I wasn't sure he came to this sanatorium. I got to see him right away.
Oh, I'm sorry. It may not be wise to disturb the patient.
Patient? What are you giving me?
Mr. Bryant is in a very serious mental state.
Now, hold on, Waring. Somebody's giving you a routine. There's nothing wrong with Bryant. The guy he worked for was killed early tonight. And he was there when it happened.
Early tonight? Why, that's impossible. You see, Mr. Hammer, Henry Bryant hasn't been out of the sanitarium since he was admitted at 5 o'clock last night.
When your jaw stops bouncing off the floor, Waring takes you to his office and shows you the record. The report states that Henry Bryant was admitted to the sanitarium at 5 o'clock the evening before. But you're not satisfied at all. The whole setup reads as phony as a set of aluminum teeth. You're in for a bigger surprise when Waring tells you he has no objections to your seeing the patient.
Mr. Bryant is in the room up ahead.
He leads you down the corridor to a corner room.
This is the door. Now, please remember, do not excite him unduly.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Bryant.
Huh?
You have a visitor. This gentleman, Mr. Hammer, claims he knows you.
His name isn't that. He's lying. I never saw him before. Please, don't let him hurt me.
Henry, you remember me, Mike Hammer.
No.
I came to see you about Jim Gordon.
Jim! You're one of his spies. Jim sent you to...
Henry, Jim's dead.
Oh, you're just saying that. Mr. Waring, he's come to kill me. Please don't let him kill me.
No, Mr. Bryant, no one is going to harm you.
Please don't let him kill me. Please don't let him. I don't want to die. Please don't let him do it.
You'd better leave now, Mr. Hammer.
Well, maybe you'll quiet down a minute, then I can ask
him. I'm sorry, I can take no further risk with the patient. Please wait for me in my office.
You don't bother to wait. You get back out to your car in Belder. You wait till you get out to the main highway before you fill her in.
It sounded like he was insane.
Belder, Henry Bryant's no crazier than I am. But I'll tell you one thing for sure, he's scared stiff.
What do you mean?
Well, I just can't put my finger on it, but Bryant is really frightened. It wasn't part of his act.
Well, you think he knows something about Jim Gordon's death?
Plenty. He was the guy we saw get into Lawrence's convertible.
But you told me Mr. Waring said Bryant was admitted to the sanitarium last night.
Waring was lying. Bryant was wearing the same suit that I saw on him when he got into Lawrence's car back in town.
Then Waring must be in on it, too.
Up to his eyeballs. Henry Bryant is being hidden at that sanitarium for a reason. He's only faking insanity. And Waring's tied up with it. Yeah, I got all the answers, but go prove them.
Maybe we can prove them, all of them.
Okay, Velde, you tell me how.
Okay, I will. Take the next turn to your left. That'll bring us to the village of Glendale.
Well, what's Glendale got to do with it?
Dr. Harris has his office there. You remember him.
Harris? Oh, yeah, the nice old guy we helped out last year.
And now Dr. Harris can help us.
Come on, come on. What are you getting at?
You want to prove that Henry Bryant isn't insane, don't you?
Oh?
So I figure it'd be a good idea for Dr. Harris to have me admitted to that sanitarium as an emergency patient.
Now, wait.
Of course, under an assumed name like Jane Barnes.
Nothing doing, Dalton. Of all the crazy ideas.
We're going to talk to Dr. Harris right now.
Absolutely not.
You're not going to talk me out of this, Mike. If Henry Bryant is as frightened as you say he is, there's a good chance he might confide in a sympathetic fellow patient like, well, poor Jane Barnes.
In just a moment, we'll return to the Mickey Spillane mystery, That Hammer Guy. And now, back to the Mickey Spillane mystery, That Hammer Guy.
You thought you'd be a smart guy and keep Velda late at the office so she'd have to have dinner with you. Instead, you're both on a wild goose chase after a guy who might be a material witness to a friend's murder. Now, to make matters worse, Velda's got the bright idea that she can get the dope you want by having herself committed to the sanitarium where the witness is.
Yes, Mr. Waring, that's correct. Miss Jane Barnes. Yes, I'll bring the patient over immediately.
You sit in the corner and stew while Dr. Harris makes all the arrangements. The more you think of the deal, the less you think of it.
Now, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Look, Velda, will you please listen to me?
Mike, we've been through it all. Everything is settled.
Not as far as I'm concerned.
You'll feel much better when we get the facts that will make Captain Chambers thank you for interfering.
Listen, I'm going to call Pat right now and tell him everything.
Oh, no, you're not.
Velda, can't you understand that you're walking right into the middle of a nest of rats?
I can take care of myself.
Don't kid yourself. Craig Lawrence is mixed up in this, and Lawrence plays the game for keeps. What happens if you get stuck in there and need help?
Oh, I've thought of that, Mike. You stay right here in Glendale. If I do need help, I'll phone Dr. Harris. I'll say, I want my brother to come and visit me. That'll be a signal, all right?
And I can't talk you out of this.
No.
Okay, Velda. Or is it Jane Barnes?
Now, you remember the signal for help.
I want my brother to come and visit me.
And now we'd better have Dr. Harris deliver his patient to the sanitarium.
You wait. You sit at Dr. Harris's phone and wait, but nothing happens. Every time the phone rings, you jump for it, but it always turns out to be a routine call for the doc. He finally takes off on an emergency case, and you flop down on his operating table to wait some more. The night is almost over when the phone rings again. Hello?
Dr. Harris, this is Miss Jane Barnes.
It's me, Velda Mike.
Yes, Dr. Harris, I know.
Well, Dr. Harris was called on the case an hour ago. I've been standing by in case your phone.
Dr. Harris, I'm very lonely here. I want my brother to come and visit me.
Okay, Velda, I'll get Dr. Harris right away and come over and get you.
Please hurry, Dr. Harris. Please hurry.
You don't bother to wait for Dr. Harris. When you swing into the side road leading to the Waring Sanitarium, you change your mind about the direct approach. You leave your car down the road and get to the building from the rear. The basement entrance is open. You come through the lower corridor and head up the stairs. Nobody's around. You head to the door where you saw Henry Bryant and try the door. It swings open. Bryant is lying on the floor, and you have to get down real close to see that he's still alive.
Good. I was scared.
You kneel down close to him, beg him to talk.
I walked in on Lawrence and Jim. I saw him shoot.
And Jim didn't kill himself.
Lawrence, I saw him. They made me come here.
Zelda, where's Zelda?
Who?
The girl that was brought in.
They said they'd kill me.
Brian, tell me, where is she?
You, me. You know what?
What? You watch Henry Bryan's eyes turn blank as the fear washes away. And it washes over you when you think of what they could have done to Velda.
Rather strange visiting hours, brother.
You jerk around to see Waring standing against the door jamb, pointing a gun at you.
Don't move abruptly, Mr. Hammer. I hate the sight of blood.
Hey, you're a pretty sharp guy, aren't you?
Sharp enough to know what's going on in my own sanitarium. I'm afraid your girlfriend is in a much more serious condition than I thought.
Meaning?
Delusions, you know. She said she called Dr. Harris.
So?
She couldn't have, Hammer. Dr. Harris is dead.
What?
One of our doctors was called out 20 minutes ago. There was an auto accident down the road, and Dr. Harris was killed in that accident. Now, Mr. Hammer, you will please go down the hall to my study.
He handled the gun like it was part of his hand. So you head down the hall and wait as he unlocks the door.
Well, young lady, you wanted your brother to come and visit you. Here he is.
Hello, Zelda.
Micah, I'm sorry.
You're going to be sorrier, Hammer.
Lawrence!
I've been waiting for you with open arms and this
Mike!
Gun. You two should have kept your noses out of where they don't belong.
Mike, why didn't I listen to you? I've made a terrible mess of things.
No. Take it easy, Zelda. It was a great idea while it lasted.
What about the car, Waring?
It's out in the rear, Mr. Lawrence.
First, make sure Brian's dead. Then get in and bring it around the side entrance. I'll take care of these two.
Right away, Mr. Lawrence.
Hey, handy to have a stooge running a plant like this, isn't it?
Mike, what are they going to do to us?
I'd rather not ask.
You don't have to. I'll tell you. You two and me are going for a ride, but you're not coming back. All right, start walking.
Oh, after you, Mr. Lawrence.
Wise guy.
Huh? Just being polite.
You'll just be dead if you try any phony moves. All right, get going. Down to the door at the end of the hall.
I'm sorry, Zelda.
What I wouldn't give for the sight of Captain Chambers right now.
You can double that for me and add a million.
If I hadn't been so stubborn, if I... Mike! Mike, that shot, I thought you...
No, baby, I'm okay, but how did Lawrence get it?
I'm how?
Captain Chambers.
Pat, where did you come from?
I was hiding around the corner of the corridor. I had to clip him because he had his gun on you, and he might have used it on you, too, if he'd seen me.
Waring. He went for the car.
You just relax. We grabbed him when he came down the hall before.
Plant, how the devil do you happen to be here?
I used a new correspondence school system.
Okay, rub it in.
Now, I had a tail on Lawrence all the time, Mike. When I got word he was on his way out of town, I just made up my mind to see where he was going personally. While I had this sanitarium spotted outside, I happened to see you go in.
Huh? You mean you were outside all the time?
Yeah, right.
Well, why didn't you stop me right then and there?
Stop you? I figure there's only one sure way of stopping you. Lock you up, say for obstruction of the law.
Oh, Pat, you wouldn't do a thing like that.
Oh, would you? I would. If you haven't learned a lesson.
Oh, believe me, Pat. I've learned it for the both of us.
From New York City, the makers of Clipper Craft Clothes for Men and 1036 leading retail stores from coast to coast present the world's most famous detective, Sherlock Holmes. This week's story, The Adventure of the Illustrious Client. Well, here we are again in Dr. Watson's famous study. He has just given us a tall frosted glass that clinks pleasantly and is now rearranging his notes and papers.
There now, Mr. Harris, we're all set, as you say in America.
Good. Then let's get on with it, as you say in England, Doctor.
Yes. But tonight I think I'll tell you how Holmes disillusioned a charming young lady and consequently saved her from what is commonly called a fate worse than death. Yes, but before we begin to get too involved in that rather complicated affair, Mr. Harris, you'd better say a few words on a subject that's very appropriate at this particular season of the year.
A very good idea, Dr. Watson. Here's a fact you ought to know. There's no reason in the world for you to pay high prices for a beautifully tailored, smartly styled suit of clothes. Not with Clippercraft available. Clippercraft clothes feature long-wearing fabrics, are superbly made, and better than fairly priced, despite rising costs of materials and manufacturing. There's a big reason Clippercraft clothes are priced so modestly. It's the famous Clippercraft plan, concentrating the buying power of 1,036 of the nation's finest stores from coast to coast, providing steady year-round operation, lowering manufacturing and distribution costs. It makes available the finest suits you've ever seen for only $40 to $47.50. Handsome tropicals at $33.75 to $40, and sport jackets at only $26.50. Naturally, more fine stores than ever are welcoming the Clippercraft plan. These are the days it really goes to work for you. Compare Clippercraft with clothes selling for many dollars more. And now, back to the young lady who is about to be rescued by Mr. Sherlock Holmes, no less.
Right. It was September the 3rd, 1903. A few years after my marriage, if you remember. Well, I dropped around to Baker Street in the middle of the afternoon. There was Holmes lying on the sofa, pipe in hand, a piece of letter paper dangling from his long, lean fingers. But the thing that surprised me most was the appearance of the room itself. Hello, I say, Holmes, what's up? Have we reached the millennium?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm alluding to the unprecedented tidiness of the room.
It's Mrs. Hudson's doing.
Oh.
She's got wind of the fact that I'm expecting a call from Sir James Damery this afternoon, and she took a mean advantage of my being out of the house this morning to commit this atrocity.
Oh, not a bad idea, either.
I won't be able to find anything for weeks. And my hair, look at it.
Oh, don't tell me Mrs. Hudson made you brush it.
Women are tyrants, Watson. Tyrants.
Oh, rubbish. I say, what's all this about Sir James Damery? What does he want?
Beyond this charming note, which says he'll be here at 4:30 and that the matter is extremely delicate and important, I know about as much about the matter as you do, which is absolutely nothing.
Well, I'm glad to hear you admit it. I say, look here, Holmes, isn't this chap Damery a pretty important person in the diplomatic service?
Quite. Hello. Isn't that a carriage I hear drawing up in front of our house?
Oh, by Jove. It's a handsome turnout, Holmes. Two men on the box.
Yes, I don't imagine that carriage belongs to Sir James himself. He must be acting for someone else. By Jove, the crest on the door. So it's as serious as that.
I say, Holmes, you've got deuced good eyesight. I can't make out the crest at all.
That's just as well, my dear Watson. Just as well. Here comes Damery himself.
Oh, I say, he is a handsome fellow, eh?
Yes, a splendid fellow. Honest and understanding and clever. Deuced clever, my dear Watson.
Oh, I suppose you say that because he had the intelligence to come to you instead of going to Scotland Yard.
Oh, rubbish.
Oh, look at Mrs. Hudson opening the door to him. All starched up, her face as red as a beet.
Yes, she'll talk about this for weeks. Dear, dear women. She'll go into raptures over the color of his eyes, the fit of his coat, the... Come in, come in.
It's Sir James Damery to see you, sir.
Well, ask him to come in.
Yes, sir. Just be so good as to step this way, your lordship.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Don't forget to close the door, Mrs. Hudson.
No, sir.
You've created quite a little flutter in our household, Sir James, as you can see.
It's so good of you to see me, Mr. Holmes, and this, I take it, is Dr. Watson. I hope to find you here. Delighted to make your acquaintance, my dear doctor.
The pleasure's mine, I'm sure.
Won't you sit down, sir?
Thank you. Dr. Watson's collaboration may be vital, Mr. Holmes, for we are dealing on this occasion with a violent and ruthless man. I may safely say there is no more dangerous man in Europe.
I have outwitted several opponents to whom that flattering term has been applied. Who is this paragon, Sir James?
Have you ever heard of Baron Gruner?
The Austrian murderer.
So, you have already sized him up as a murderer.
It's my business to follow the details of continental crime. I'm as sure that he killed his wife at the time of the so-called accident at Flugen Pass as if I'd seen him do it.
Yes.
I knew also that he'd come to England and was convinced that sooner or later he'd find some work to do.
Then you sympathize with the client in whose interest I'm acting.
Yes. And I guessed you were only an intermediary. Who's the principal?
Mr. Holmes, I must beg you not to press that question. It is important that his honored name should not be dragged into the matter.
I'm accustomed to have mystery at one end of my cases, Sir James, but not at both. I fear I must decline.
May I at least lay the facts of the case before you?
By all means.
You have no doubt heard of General de Merville.
Oh, de Merville? The Iron General of Khyber fame? The old bulldog? Why, I remember the great day of...
Watson, don't interrupt.
Oh, very well.
Well, the old bulldog has a daughter, Violet de Merville. Young, rich, and beautiful. It is this daughter, this lovely, innocent girl whom we are endeavoring to save from that fiend, Gruner.
He has some hold over her?
She's in love with him, Mr. Holmes. At least she thinks she is a mad infatuation. She's obsessed by the man and proposes to marry him next month. There's very little her family can do as she is of age and has a will of iron.
Oh, her father's daughter, eh?
Watson.
Oh, sorry.
Does she know about the Austrian episode?
The rascal has told her every unsavory public scandal of his past life.
Foolhardy, eh, Holmes?
But always in such a way as to make himself out to be an innocent martyr.
Cunning devil.
But surely, Sir James, you've let out the name of your client. It must be General de Merville.
I could deceive you, Mr. Holmes, by saying so.
My dear Damery, it takes more than that to deceive me.
Yes, yes, I suppose so. Let us say, then, that my client is an old friend who has known the general intimately for years and has taken a paternal interest in the girl since she wore short frocks. It was his suggestion that you should be called in.
Very flattering. Your problem interests me, Sir James. I'm prepared to look into it.
Excellent. In case of developments, you can reach me at the Carlton Club.
And the Baron's address?
Vernon Lodge, near Kingston. Mm-hmm. It's a large house. He has been fortunate in some shady speculations and is a rich man, worse luck.
Yes, that makes him all the more dangerous as an antagonist. Can you give me any further information about him? His personal habits, I mean?
He has expensive tastes. A horse fancier. Plays polo. Collects books. Women. He's a recognized authority on Chinese pottery. Has even written a book on the subject.
Chinese pottery. A complex mind like most great criminals. Well, Sir James, you will inform your client that I am undertaking the case of the Baron Gruner.
I am exceedingly grateful, Mr. Holmes.
Not at all.
Well, good luck, gentlemen, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Oh, dear me, this is a delicate situation, eh?
Well, Watson, any news?
Well, I should think you'd better see the young lady herself.
De Merville's daughter? No. That's more or less of a last resort. No young woman in love is ever very reasonable. And Violet has her father's determination in all probability. No, first of all, I think I shall consult Shinwell Johnson.
Shinwell Johnson? Who's he?
Well, suppose we meet for lunch tomorrow at Simpson's. I'll ask him to drop around with any information he's been able to pick up. Don't disappoint me, Watson.
Oh, no.
I think I may be able to introduce you to a colorful personality.
Oh, I'll be there, never fear.
Another glass of claret, waiter.
Yes, sir.
Well, Watson, Johnson's on the prowl. He may pick up some garbage in the dark recesses of the underworld, but it's down there that we must look for Baron Gruner's secrets.
Yes, but who's this Shimble Johnson fellow?
An ex-convict whom I've succeeded in reforming, served 2 terms at Parkhurst.
Oh.
Consequently, he has the entree to every nightclub, doss house, and gambling den in town. An ideal agent for gaining information, Watson.
Yes, but if Miss Violet's not affected by what she already knows... Why should any discovery of Mr. Johnson's change her mind?
Who knows, Watson? Woman's heart and mind are insoluble puzzles to the male. Murder might be condoned or explained, and yet some smaller offense might rankle. As Baron Gruner remarked this morning, you can't...
So you've seen him.
Well, to be sure, didn't I tell you?
No.
Dear me, how careless of me. I always like to meet my adversary eye to eye and find out for myself the stuff that he's made of.
But didn't he recognize you?
Naturally, I sent in my card.
Oh, you are a character, Holmes.
An excellent antagonist, this Baron Gruner. A real aristocrat of crime. Cool as ice. And as poisonous as a cobra.
I rather thought I should see you sooner or later, Mr. Holmes. I understand you have been engaged to prevent my marriage to the daughter of General de Merville.
Quite, Baron Gruner.
My dear fellow... You will only ruin your famous reputation. Let me advise you to draw off at once.
Dear me, that was the very advice I was about to give you. If you persist in this marriage, you'll raise a swarm of powerful enemies. Is the game worth it? Surely you'd be wiser if you left the lady alone. You can hardly wish certain facts about your past to be brought to her notice.
Oh, pardon my amusement, Mr. Holmes. But it's most amusing to see you trying to play a hand with no cards in it.
So? You think I hold no cards, my dear Baron? Let me assure you I have several aces up my sleeve.
Bluff, Mr. Holmes. Perhaps you don't realize that I hold the affection of this lady in spite of all the unhappy incidents of my past. I've also told her that certain wicked and designing persons, I hope you recognize yourself, would come to her and try to poison her mind against me. I also told her how to treat them. You've heard of post-hypnotic suggestion? If you call on Violet, you'll have an opportunity to see how it works. Dear little Violet, such a delightful subject for hypnotism.
A hypnotic spell can be broken, my friend.
Only by a stronger personality. Oh, by the way, Mr. Holmes, did you know Lebrun, the French agent?
I did.
You know what happened to him?
Yes, he was beaten and crippled for life.
Quite true. Mr. Holmes, by a curious coincidence, he had been inquiring into my affairs only a week before. Don't do it, Mr. Holmes. It's not lucky.
Nasty brute. I say, Holmes, you better watch yourself. He'll stop at nothing.
Quite. Two attempts have already been made on my life, Watson. I always disregard the blusterer, but this is the sort of chap who says rather less than he means. Oh, but look, here comes Shinwell Johnson, huh? The red-faced fellow with the beefy jowls and the tremendous gold watch chain.
But I say, who's his companion? The young woman, I mean, with a pale, intense look. She looks as if she'd lived a bit, Holmes.
Yes, a dark page from Baron Gruner's past, I imagine. Ah, good afternoon, Shinwell.
Good afternoon, Mr. Holmes.
Waiter, bring an extra chair for the lady.
Yes.
It's better.
This here is Miss Kitty Winter.
Well, how do you do?
Which she don't know about the Baron, but she'll speak for herself. I found her within an hour after I heard from you. Quick work, eh, Mr. Holmes?
I'm easy to find. The gutter, London, gets me every time. Same address for Porky Shinwell, but by cripes, Gruner ought to
yes,
be...
Yes, 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 then I gather we have your good wishes, Miss Winter.
Look at me. What I am, Albert Gruner made me. If I can help put him where he belongs, I'm yours to the death rattle.
You know how the matter stands?
He's after some other poor fool. Wants her to marry him this time, eh? Don't you know enough about him to keep any decent girl in her senses from...
She's not in her senses. She's in love. She knows pretty much all about it.
She knows about the murder?
Yes.
Good Lord, she must have a nerve.
She puts it all down to slander. We want proofs. Can you help us?
Proofs? I think I'm proof enough. Let her take a look at me and listen to what I can tell her.
Would you be willing to do it?
Wouldn't I, though?
Remember, he's told her most of his past.
I'll wager he didn't tell her all. I'll bet she don't know he's got a book. A brown leather book with a lock. Must have been drunk that night or he wouldn't have showed it to me.
What kind of a book?
That devil collects women, Mr. Holmes, like some men collect butterflies. And he's proud of his collection. He's got it all in that book. Snapshot photographs, names, details, everything. If you could only lay hands on that book. Probably got her in there with the rest of us by this time. She'd like that, wouldn't she?
Where is this book?
It's more than a year since I was in his study. I knew where it was kept then. Do you know his house?
I've been in his study.
I'll hand it to you for being on the job. Maybe he's met his match this time.
Well, the outer study is where he keeps his Chinese crockery. A big glass cupboard between the windows. Then behind his desk is a door that leads to the inner study. It's in there that he keeps his papers and things.
Well, isn't he afraid of burglars?
Say what you like, he's no coward. He can look after himself. Besides, there's a burglar alarm at night.
I see. If we could get into that study, Miss Winter, you think you could show us where that book's hidden?
Sure.
Oh, but look here, Holmes, you can't go breaking into a strange house. It's against the law.
Quite, and I wouldn't dream of doing it, except as a last resort. But come along, Miss Winter. We'll see how far our legal efforts get us before we turn to other tactics.
What do you mean?
Suppose we just drop in on Mr. Merville for a little chat.
What a pretty drawing room. It's been a long time since I... You won't believe it, Mr. Holmes, when I tell you I once had a nice home, too.
Obviously, my dear, I can tell by your hand you were a lady. The rough talk you assumed to cover it up didn't fool me for a minute.
Oh, sir, I'm so nervous. I don't know if I can go through with it.
Oh, courage, Kitty. It'll be over in a minute. Quiet, someone's coming. Ah, Mr. Merville, if I'm not mistaken.
Mr. Holmes, I presume.
Quite.
Pray be seated. I've been expecting a visit from you. You have called, as I understand, to malign my fiancé, Baron Gruner. It's only fair to warn you, Mr. Holmes, that you're wasting your time. Nothing you can say will have the slightest effect on my mind.
My dear young woman, I wonder if you realize what it means to be married to a murderer, and worse. His reputation will bar you from decent society in any civilized country. How can a woman of your upbringing consent
to... Mr. Holmes, I'm aware that my fiancé has had a stormy life in which he has incurred bitter hatreds. You are only the last of a series to slander him. Don't think that I don't know your motive. You're a paid agent who would have been equally willing to act for the Baron if he'd consented to pay your price, but he refused.
Really, Mr. Merville?
Moreover, Mr. Holmes, I am not clear why you should bring this person into my drawing room. I haven't the slightest notion who she is.
No? Well, I'll tell you who I am. I'm his last victim. He'll kill you, that's what he'll do. Maybe a broken back or a broken heart, but he'll break you one way or the other.
I don't need your protection, thank you.
Oh, it's not for love of you I'm speaking. I don't give a tinker's curse if you live or die. It's because I hate him, do you hear? And you needn't look at me like that. God knows you may be lower than I am before you're through.
Let me say once for all that I'm aware of three passages in my fiancé's life when he became entangled with designing women.
Three passages? Three passages, she says. Oh, you fool. You fool. Wait till you see that book.
Compare Clippercraft with suits, tropicals, and sport jackets, selling for many dollars more. It's a wonderful way to prove to yourself how much you save with Clippercraft. The fine local independent stores who sell Clippercraft clothes from coast to coast make a business of giving you more for your money. Your favorite store, the store you can trust, is back of the remarkable Clippercraft plan. The plan that concentrates the buying power of 1036 of the nation's finest stores from coast to coast. And that's why you can buy luxurious long-wearing fabrics in Clippercraft suits for only $40 to $47.50. Fine tropicals at $33.75 to $40. And sport jackets for only $26.50. Ask any of the millions of men who wear Clippercraft clothes. For selling expensive clothes at inexpensive low prices at the nation's finest stores is the great big idea behind the Clippercraft plan. That's why men who know insist on Clippercraft clothes. So be sure to visit the Clippercraft store in your city.
These leading stores in the metropolitan area are proud to add their names to Clippercraft in your suits, top coats, sport jackets, and tropicals. In Manhattan, John Wanamaker Men's Stores, Broadway at 8th and 67 Liberty Street. Saks 34th, Broadway at 34th. In Brooklyn, Abraham and Strauss. In Newark, New Jersey, Boulevard Men's Shop, Kresge Newark. And in Jamaica, the B&B Clothes Shop, 16408 Jamaica Avenue.
Now to return to our adventure. In front of Sherlock Holmes' lodgings at 221B Baker Street, we find an excited crowd of people.
I say, have you heard the news, Sheet?
This is where he lives, the poor man. Oh, the poor man.
Look at the papers. Murderous attack on Sherlock Holmes.
They've murdered him? Do you hear that? They've murdered him.
It's an outrage. A man's not safe in the streets anymore.
But how did it happen?
Two ruffians outside the Cafe Regal. They beat him with sticks. He was picked up for dead.
Oh, he's dead. Isn't that dreadful? Sherlock Holmes is dead.
Yeah, let me through. Let me through, I say. I'm a doctor.
Oh, he's a doctor. Let him through. He's a doctor.
Oh, confounded, the bell won't ring. What?
Oh, here you are at last, Dr. Watson. Praise be. Come in, come in.
Yes, I've been out all afternoon, Mrs. Hudson. I've just got word. Is he badly hurt?
Oh, sir, they brought him in here all bleeding. They had to have that surgeon fella, Oakshott.
Sir Leslie Oakshott? Oh, then it is serious.
Yes, sir. He's been taking stitches in him and giving him morphine.
Do you think I can go up for a moment?
Well, that Sir What's-His-Name said as Mr. Holmes was to have absolute quiet. I had to stuff the doorbell on account of the newspaper fellows.
Oh, yes, sir, quite right.
But Mr. Holmes kept saying he had to see you as soon as you came. So that surgeon fellow said, all right, but only for 10 minutes, mind.
Oh, good, I'll go right up.
Yes, sir, and let me know if he's wanting anything.
Oh, this is terrible, terrible. It's all the Baron's doing, of course. Wait till I lay my hands on
them. Walk on tiptoe, Watson. This is not as bad as it seems.
Oh, thank God for that. Of course, it's that rascal who set them on. I'll go and thrash the hide off him if you say so.
Good old Watson. No, it's not necessary. But there is something you can do for me.
Anything, anything at all.
We haven't much time. I've just discovered that the Baron is planning to elope to South America with Mr. Merville day after tomorrow. Must be losing his nerve.
Well, what can we do in that short time?
You are to spend the next 24 hours in an intensive study of Chinese pottery.
Me? Chinese pottery? Holmes, you're delirious.
Not at all. Hand me that little box from the mantelpiece.
This one?
Yes, that's right. Only open it for me, will you, Watson? These clumsy bandages. I don't want to run any risk of breaking it.
Oh, I say. It's a beautiful little deep blue saucer wrapped in silk.
That is the real eggshell pottery of the Ming Dynasty. A complete set of it would be worth a king's ransom. The Baron would sell his soul for a set like that.
Well, what am I to do with it?
Here is your card.
Oh, yes, but this says Dr. Hill Barton, 369 Half Moon Street.
That is your name for tomorrow evening. You will call on Baron Gruner at 8:30.
What?
A note's already been set making the appointment and saying that you're bringing a specimen of an absolutely unique set of Ming china. May as well be a medical man, since you can play that part without duplicity. Don't want to put too much of a strain on your acting ability.
No, now, look here, Holmes.
Watson, you're not going to go back on me at a time like this.
Well, no, of course not. But, I say, what if he won't see me?
He'll see you right enough. He has the collector's mania in its most acute form. The important thing is to cram up on Chinese pottery so you can carry on an intelligent conversation.
Well, I'll do my best.
Good. 8:30 tomorrow.
Righto.
Now, perhaps you'd better go. I'm afraid I feel a trifle weak.
I'll find out if the Baron will see you, sir.
I believe he's expecting me.
Very good, sir.
Dear me, I wish my knees had stopped wobbling about. Hong Wu and Yong Lo, the writings of Tang Ying, the primitive periods of Sung and Yuan. Dear me, this is dreadful.
This way, the Baron is in his study. The Chinese room, we call it. Dr. Barton, sir.
Oh, pray sit down, Doctor. Pray sit down.
Oh, thank you.
I was just looking over my treasures. Have you ever seen a richer glaze than this little Tang specimen, eh?
Delightful. Delightful.
Yes. Oh, have you the Ming saucer with you?
Oh, yes, indeed. I thought you might want to see it. Here it is. Let me unwrap it for you. There we are.
Oh, fine. Very fine indeed. And you say you have a set of 6 to correspond?
Oh, yes.
I only know of 1 in England to match this, and it is certainly not on the market. Would it be indiscreet, Dr. Barton, to ask how you obtained this?
Well, does it really matter? You can see the piece is genuine.
Oh, undoubtedly. But suppose I should discover later that you had no right to sell.
Oh, I'd guarantee you against any claim of that sort.
And what is your guarantee worth?
My bankers would answer that.
Yet on the whole, this business is very mysterious.
Well, you can do business or not as you like. I've given you the first offer because I understood you were a connoisseur.
Who told you so?
Well, you wrote a book on the subject, I believe.
Have you read the book?
No.
You are a collector with a valuable piece in your collection. And yet you have never troubled to consult the one book which would give you the real meaning and value of what you hold. Now, how do you explain that?
I'm a very busy man, a doctor in practice.
That's no answer. You said in your note you were a connoisseur.
So I am.
But what do you know of the Emperor Shoumu? How do you associate him with the Shoso Inn near Nara?
Well, as a matter of
fact... Does that puzzle you? What about the Northern Wei Dynasty?
Oh, this is intolerable. I came here to do you a favor, not to be examined as if I were a schoolboy.
You're here as a spy. Sherlock Holmes sent you. Now, what's the game? You've made your way in here without leave. But you're not going to find it so easy to get out again.
I thought the beating he got yesterday would be enough to scare him off. But if he wants a corpse to prove to him...
What's that?
Someone's in the inner study. Someone... Sherlock Holmes himself. Now, what in blazes are you doing here?
Just glancing through your diary. Rather lurid reading, my dear fellow. I wonder what Miss Violet will think of it.
Put that book down.
Put it down, I say, you fool.
My men bungled. I told them to kill you. Well, I'm going to complete the job myself.
Look out, Holmes, he's got a knife.
Oh, no, you don't. I've got a little score of my own to settle.
Oh, Kitty, what are you doing here?
Surprised to see me, eh? Thought I'd killed myself by this time. Well, I'm going to fix you.
Oh, now, really, Kitty, you're most amusing.
Go ahead and laugh. It'll be the last time. Very well, then. Take
stop her! Stop her, Watson!
What can I do?
Watson, why didn't you stop her?
She's blinded me. Oh, vitriol is burning my eyes out. Oh, water, for God's sake, water!
That'll spoil your looks.
The pain, I can't stand the pain. It's driving me crazy.
Now laugh. Oh. Why don't you laugh?
What a story, Doctor. And did Mr. Merville break off the engagement when she saw the Baron's love diary?
Oh, dear me, yes. Sir James came and collected it and the little saucer of Ming China the afternoon after her encounter with Gruner. The diary was in the Baron's own handwriting. There was no way of getting around that. The wages of sin, my dear Mr. Harris. The wages of sin. Be sure your faults will find you out.
Say, Doctor, apropos of nothing at all, was Mr. Holmes arrested for housebreaking?
Now, what an idea. Well, there was some rumor about a prosecution, I believe, but when the purpose is good and the client sufficiently illustrious, even the rigid British law becomes human and elastic. Holmes is yet to stand in the dock.
And the illustrious client, Doctor, did you ever find out who he was?
Well, I could make a good guess. On Sir James' second visit, I escorted him down to his carriage, and quite by accident, mind, I caught a glimpse of that coat of arms before Sir James threw his overcoat half out of the window to cover it.
And who was it, Doctor?
Oh, I couldn't dream of telling. Beyond the fact that he was a loyal friend and a chivalrous gentleman, and his coat of arms had three ostrich plumes on the top.
And, of course, you haven't the remotest idea.
Oh, certainly not.
Hmm. And now, Doctor, how about giving our friends and listeners a hint about next week's story?
Next week? Now, let me see. Oh, yes, next week I think I'll tell you about some yellow roses that refused to die and how they nearly caused the death of a lovely young second wife who heard the voice of her husband's first wife calling to her from a watery grave.
The makers of Clippercraft Clothes and 1036 leading stores from coast to coast have brought you another in the new series of broadcasts featuring the world's most famous detective, Sherlock Holmes. Our stories are based upon the character Sherlock Holmes, created by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Sherlock Holmes is played by John Stanley, Dr. Watson by Alfred Shirley, and the dramatizations are by Edith Meiser. Sherlock Holmes is produced and directed by Basil Ockren, with special music by Albert Berman. If you don't know your Clippercraft dealer, write Clippercraft, 200 Fifth Avenue, New York City. Be sure to listen next week to Sherlock Holmes in The Case of the Ever-Blooming Roses. This is Cy Harris speaking for Clippercraft Clothes. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That's Case Closed for this week. If you want to find more from Sherlock Holmes, That Hammer Guy, and everything else Relic Radio, just visit the website at relicradio.com. Find all the shows there, our Shoutcast stream, and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. My thanks to those who have. It's how we keep this all going. And thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with Barry Craig and Philip Marlowe on a brand new episode of Case Closed.